I am Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And I don't believe it.
I think I had too much coffee that morning.
Yep. Yes, definitely. Joining us today, we have Rich Zadow of Raffi, and he brought along his social media director, Justin. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
10 years.
Yes. Can you believe it? Routine aircraft flying experience has been around for 10 years.
Wow.
It's hard to imagine.
But, yeah.
Yeah. It kind of proves that you know what we're doing has some validity. You know, we've gotten to fly twice in the AirVenture Air Show. Each time Bert Rutan is here, we put on a big old deal for him. We got our membership has grown. We've got 12 flying airplanes that have been donated to us, and some of the rarest Rutan models, which we brought. Again, the very vegan Lady Vi has developed her own following, and then the world's only flying solitaire that we had last year, but didn't get to fly. Had an engine problem, so the EA said we could fly it a little bit later in the week. We think it's the only time one's ever flown at Oshkosh.
So, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sally Melville sent me a note that they had towed one out here, what they call the shop solitaire, the one Bert first designed. But they didn't fly it, as far as she remembers. So
okay,
yeah,
you're getting a lot more traction. Are projects coming to you easier now?
Yes and no. I mean, it's a pretty steady. You know, the whole culture of the Rutan community over. You know, as we talked about in previous years, the way we get donations is typically some builder passes away, the family doesn't know what to do with the airplane, and they look for some avenue to keep the legacy of their family member alive. Then they donate the airplanes. A good example is we just got a quickie that belonged to Jim Maysall. And Jim Maysall was the quickie guy. I mean, back in the day, he wrote the quickie newsletter and all that stuff. And the quickie's kind of a redheaded stepchild of the Rutan stuff, but we still embrace it because it's kind of a Bert Rutan
design. Still Rutan design.
Yeah, and so we don't have a flying quickie yet. And so we were pretty excited. This one is really close to flying. Hadn't flown in a long time. But we get these airplanes offered to us, and we're almost at a saturation point where we don't—we're physically, you know, we don't have any room to store this stuff anymore. We got big operation down in Houston now. That's where Justin's joined us, and then Covington, Tennessee. We got an 8,000 square foot hangar there, and it's just full of Rutan stuff.
So oh wow!
We got more stuff than we can keep track of in a way.
Well, you know, you can always drop one in Pennsylvania. I wouldn't complain much.
Well, you know, we keep talking to us because some of this stuff. We tried the unfinished projects that we get donated. We try to pair those up with people who want to finish them. And then the airplanes that have flown or are flying airplanes, we can keep those flying. And the ones that have flown that need restoration, we got volunteers that are helping to get those airplanes back in the air, too.
That begs the question. I mean, composites, they're the first generation of composites.
Yeah.
What kind of restoration does it need? Paint work, engine, obviously, controls.
Yeah, engine, anything metal we go through, and one of the most humorous things we find is wiring.
It seems
like back in the day, a lot of people like to use Radio Shack lamp cord for things.
Yeah, yeah.
we and especially with advances in avionics, we try to keep the airplanes like the builder built them. That represents what the builders, did. And, you know, we refer to the airplanes by the builder's name, like the Dave Brown Long Easy and Paul Adrian Long Easy and stuff like that. But at some point, though, when safety or, you know, thing like that come into place, we rip things out and replace them. So
yeah, reliability. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So
they have to be functioning airplanes or else they don't do anything for us.
Well, do you update the panels?
Sometimes, like I said, it depends on what it is. You know, we try to keep them the way the builder built them. So if it's round dials, we keep it round dials. But, you know, you got to have ADS-B these days. Some of the airplanes we have don't have transponders. You know, they come from that day.
Right.
We get some very easy. You still got a hand prop, you know, because they don't have an electrical system. So, but that represents the genre, you know. So we like the early ones, you know, and we like the later ones, too. So
okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, have you found any problems with the composite work on the aircraft just from old age?
No, as long as they're cared for and stored well, they're hangered, they're okay. Any of these that sit outside for a while, you have to really look at. But delamination issues like that, we check, you know, we tap test everything. We know how to test, you look at composites. There's not much you can see inside.
Right.
So you look at it from the exterior. But the parts that we find the most issues with is anything that's been exposed to the elements, the metal parts, that's all. You know, and all that stuff pretty easy to replace. You know.
Yeah, the plans, it's not like the plans aren't out there.
Oh, yeah. And they're actually free now. Bert said on the Kennard Forum, hey, I don't care anymore. Copy them all you want, you know.
No kidding.
And on the Kennard Zone, you can download a set of long, easy plans. Huh. You just don't get the full-size templates. So,
right, right. Yeah. Well, these days, CAD this, CAD that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah. So,
I was going to say, with technology being what it is, it's easier now to build them than it was way back when.
Well, it's always been easy. I mean, we've proven that. There's an article on our website called Quick Build is a State of Mind. You know, we feature people that built these airplanes in record times, like 13 months, 17 months. And we constantly battle this myth that it takes a long time to build a Kennard because it's so labor intensive. But it just depends on what you set your mind to. Like Justin here, the other option is airplanes, like we said, that have used to fly or unfinished projects. That's what he picked up. And looking for guidance, he wound up joining Rafi over there because he lives in Beaumont, not very far away. So.
What about evaluating workmanship of a prior builder?
Well, the easiest way to do that is find out who built it. And then start asking people in the Kennard community if anybody knew that guy. Very few of these were built in a vacuum. So if you can find somebody that knew the builder and they give them the thumbs up and go, yeah, he was building the same time I was. Because back in the early days, there was no internet. You had to network. And if you find somebody in near you that was building and you started comparing notes. And then, you know, if the airplane's been around for a while, if it's established airplane's got some time and has been cared for, it most likely just going to be just
fine.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well, that's cool.
Well, have you ever gotten a hold of a project from somebody and you find out that the thing is substandard?
We haven't. We've run into some people that, you know, said, well, I got this thing and I saw this or I saw that. And it's kind of subjective because workmanship is kind of subjective because it's hard to tell. If you can see the layups, if you can see the, you know, the corner tapes and stuff like that, we just got a Viggen, sadly, that had sat in a storage unit for so long the moisture had gotten to it and it was just, you know, warped and twisted. And, you know, that's wood. That's a different kind of thing. And that's the only airplane that we've ever just said, look, this has got to be cut up. You know, we didn't have room for it. We kept some really kind of cool pieces of it. It had the original Bert pulley and cable gear. So we kept the spar and all those fixtures as kind of a hang it on the wall and go, hey, look at this. You know,
yeah.
One day when we have a museum, it'll be a museum piece.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, now you mentioned plans and everything. Are you looking for other Bert Rutan memorabilia besides aircraft?
Oh, always, always. Down in Houston, we did a cool thing. We built this air-conditioned workshop and kind of lounge, briefing room, office upstairs in this big hangar that we got, and the city let us do it, which because it's kind of hot in Houston.
Yes.
And you can't get volunteers to come out and work in a hangar when it's 100 degrees.
Nope.
And that's kind of becoming the first Rutan museum for us where we're getting some of our Rutan stuff hung on the wall. So we're always looking for that. Yeah.
Finally, a reason to visit Houston.
I was going to say, has Bert Rutan been to any of your facilities?
No, you know, he lives up in Idaho, and he, you know, when he comes to Oshkosh, you know, we get to hang out with him a little bit, and we don't bother Bert too much. He's retired, you know, and we hear from him now and then, and I keep him up to date on what we're doing. But his travel plans hasn't been to Houston yet, so maybe he'll stop by sometime. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he'll look at that and go, I remember that airplane.
Yeah.
I remember
well, last year he was walking around all of our airplanes and over here on Easy Street, and I got to spend some quality time with him. We were walking around a Viggen, and he was reminiscing about that a lot.
I always thought that was a really cool airplane, but I understand that was one of his first designs.
That was the first,
and it was much more complicated to build than. Yeah, later designs.
Any wood airplane, it's like building a grand piano, you know, all little gussets and, you know, things like that you got to glue on. But one of the coolest things is Bert autographed the airplane. And somebody said, hey, sign the airplane, Bert. And he put his arm up on the Kennard and started writing. Well, he was writing way longer than his signature takes. And he looked up at me and he said, I wrote this inside the closet of the Starship. And I, like, you know, didn't know what he meant. And then when he lifted his arm up and kind of walked away, I looked at it, it says on the Kennard, best aircraft the company ever built.
That's great.
Yeah, so.
That's great. We actually drove out the scaled composites. Of
course, we did.
It was closed, but we took our picture in front of the sign, you know.
Yeah, here we are.
Had to do that.
Cool.
So I mean, it's not every day we get out to the Mojave Desert, right. You know?
Yeah, you know, it's a long trek. So.
Have you guys ever gone out there?
I've been out there, years ago. I stopped in one time in my very easy in my first foray around the country, and same thing. You know, it was about the Voyager time, and when I got there, they'd all gone to lunch or something.
Right.
They're all gone. You know, so
what a letdown.
But the shop was open. I was crawling around. I go, there was a mock-up of the Voyager. I crawled inside of it, and it was kind of cool.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. So you're not timid at all.
No, I guess
nobody's
not.
Here. I'm getting in it.
Yeah, nobody's looking. I'm going to crawl this thing. So.
You know, too bad they didn't have selfies back in
too
the day.
Too bad they didn't have security cameras.
True. True. Been a wanted man.
Yeah.
Who was that guy crawling on our shop?
So talk about your social media presence, Justin.
So I joined recently, like he said. I went down to help work on the planes, and I saw everybody working on the planes. I'm like, where am I going to fit in here? And we started talking. He's like, well, we need some help with social media. And I run my own personal YouTube page. And I'm like, well, I know how to do social media. So I jumped on doing that. And we've been having pretty good luck with it so far. So
you're on Facebook as what?
Yeah, Facebook, that's not my forte. So we get young people involved. They know how to do that stuff. And it's really taken off. So.
Yeah. Oh, you boomer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we got Facebook and YouTube, and we're doing both of those. And
great.
We've been doing a couple of videos while we've been here, and we're going to be getting more throughout the week and then getting them posted and everything, just getting our name out there more and getting people that are interested in the rutan designs, because a lot of people that I meet have no idea about them.
Yeah, and they're still so efficient.
Yeah, and they're just such cool planes.
Yeah.
I took a ride in one, and I'm like, okay, I'm buying one, and just so happened the guy that was selling the plane that I bought, he was right there when we landed. And he asked the pilot, he's like, oh, you looking for another one? He goes, no, but he is.
There it begins.
And
there
drove straight. We went and looked at it. I drove straight to the bank. I got him the money, and I had it.
Very good. So. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us. We've been speaking with Rich Sadow and Justin of Raffi. I always pronounce it Rafe, but Raffi sounds better. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. This is EAA Radio.